Police Chief Griffiths will take over as director of the Alaska Police Standards Council, bidding farewell to Haynes. And Hark and the borough reach an agreement. It's the KHNS Local News. I'm Jillian Rogers. Those stories and more up next. Haynes Interim Police Chief Robert Griffiths says he will not stay in Haynes as permanent chief, but will instead take on the high-level job of executive director for the Alaska Police Standards Council in Juneau. In an email Tuesday afternoon, Griffiths said, in spite of heavy recruiting, a generous offer, and humbling community petitions, he will be leaving his post as interim chief in Haynes. Griffiths started the job in the spring after the departure of former Chief Bill Musser. Griffiths was at the helm of the department when a scathing audit commissioned by the borough was released in August. He worked to implement improvements in a department that was scarred by years of disorganization and community mistrust. At public meetings, many residents expressed hope that Griffiths would stay on as permanent police chief. Griffiths said Tuesday his last day as interim chief will be November 23rd. In his email, Griffiths said he intends to, quote, continue supporting Haynes in its search for a new chief and as a pro bono consultant in the ongoing efforts to update the policies and procedures, implement the changes needed to modernize the department, and effect the changes recommended in a recent management audit, close quote. Borough Manager Dave Sosa confirmed Griffiths' departure from the department. He said no job listing for the permanent chief position has been posted yet. The Alaska Police Standards Council establishes minimum standards and training requirements for Alaska public safety officers and has the power to revoke officers' formal certification. KHNS News could not reach a representative from the Standards Council by deadline for this story. New Assembly members Margaret Friednauer and Tresham Gregg were welcomed to their first Assembly meeting with a session that lasted nearly 4 hours on Tuesday. Among the agenda items was the approval of a contract between the borough and the Haynes Animal Rescue Kennel. Hark and the borough have been in negotiations over which entity will take on animal control services for several weeks now, but they reached a consensus on October 9th and it was made official Tuesday evening. The Assembly unanimously passed a resolution authorizing Borough Manager Dave Sosa to offer Hark $23,784 for a contract running from September 1st of this year through June 30th, 2016. Here's Sosa.
What we really looked at is what are the services that are essential to have, and then who can do what. So we took a look at what was within Hark's capability, and I think not only what was within Hark's capability, but what was in their comfort level in terms of the types of tasks that they could conduct.
In September, negotiations stalled between Hark and the borough, with the police department taking on calls for loose animals after the contract fell into limbo. This came after Hark hadn't been paid for nearly 3 months, according to Tracy Mikowski, Hark executive director, who spoke with KHNS at the time. Tara Bicknell is the president of Hark's board of directors, and she said she's relieved the stalemate was resolved.
Well, I'm glad we finally settled on a contract that everyone could agree on, and I think it was obvious that the community had a lot of support for Hark and encouraged the borough to finalize a contract.
She said the money from the borough is a cut from previous years, but maintained that Hark will continue all the essential services it has in the past.
Yeah, it's the lowest amount that we've had in a while, but it also passes over some of the new enforcement duties to the police department. So there'll be less hours for patrolling from Hark.
Interim Police Chief Robert Griffiths said that Hark picks up loose dogs almost daily. Hark has been contracted by the borough to house loose, stray, and homeless dogs, feed them, provide licenses, and collect fees, along with a host of other duties since 2003. Earlier in the meeting, Friednauer made a motion, her first as an Assembly member, to follow up with the $41,000 helicopter noise study. The study was performed at the request of the borough last spring to measure helicopter noise at a 26-mile heliport. Friednauer moved for the Assembly to direct the Planning Commission to hold a public hearing to get input on whether or not the borough should regulate the use of commercial recreational helicopters. The purpose of the potential regulation would be to mitigate noise, but would take into account specific circumstances and conditions. Here's Friednauer.
So I feel like we need to do something with the study results. I'm not saying at this point that I support having those regulations or not. I just feel like it's the Assembly's responsibility to at least look at the results in a concrete way and say yes or no, we want something to come from this. Because if we don't do anything with the study now, it's going to come up again, the issue of noise.
The motion prompted resistance from Assemblymember George Campbell, who said freedoms in the community are being chipped away as it is, and regulating noise would be another example of that. Plus, he added, there are more pressing issues that the Assembly should be dealing with. But Friedenauer's motion passed 5-1, with Campbell opposed. The borough also approved the allotment of skier days to 3 local heliski operations at the meeting. There are 2,600 skier days available to 3 permit holders for the season. All 3 appealed for more days than were allotted to them, so it fell on Sosa to divvy up the days. His original division gave 1,250 to Alaska Heliskiing, 900 to Southeast Alaska Backcountry Adventures, and just 200 to the newest permit holder, Alaska Mountain Guides. Representatives from all 3 businesses pled their cases for more days. Sosa said the decision was based on the usage of days over the past 3 seasons, safety records, and other factors. The allowance left 250 days that Sosa had planned to hand out later in the season to the company who could show they had the bookings to back up the days. Here's Alaska Mountain Guide's Sean Gaffney.
We'd like to request 200 of those days at this time to allow us to meet the needs of the clients that we have. If for any reason we don't use those days, we'll return them or allow other operators to use them as we have in the past.
Alaska Heliskiing co-owner Ryan Johnson said he was asking for more days because they had gotten more in the past. Last season, his company was awarded 1,450, 200 more than this year. In the end, the Assembly voted to increase the days for Alaska Mountain Guides to 400 total and add 50 days to Alaska Heliskiing. Scott Sunny Sundberg owns SEBA and said after the decision that even though his company didn't get any extra days, if the other 2 businesses don't use all theirs, those days are up for grabs. He said his main concern is that 3 permit holders is just too many.
We can award them more days and all of us more days, and let's see some more area.
The agenda for Tuesday's meeting was packed with topics ranging from those mentioned to temporary residence permits, wastewater regulations, and the summer ferry schedule. A good introduction for the rookies and a sure sign of a busy year ahead. The Upper Lynn Canal Fish and Game Advisory Committee decided at a meeting this month to write a letter to the state in opposition of local trapping regulations in Skagway. Committee members say the local restrictions are overreaching. KHNS's Emily Files has more.
In the summer of 2014, the Skagway Borough Assembly passed an ordinance that instated trapping restrictions in borough code. The trapping debate started when a resident saw a trap on public property near their house and brought their concern to the municipality. Some people were worried about the possibility of their pets getting caught in traps. Here's Skagway Fish and Game Advisory Committee member Luke Rauscher.
From there, it kind of spiraled out of control, really.
It turned into a heated, divisive issue in the community. After many meetings and discussions, the Assembly approved a trapping ordinance that bans ground traps within an 1/8 of a mile of borough roads and trails, among other restrictions.
And I guess my concern is that we have a municipality regulating and enforcing trapping regulations mostly based on ideology.
Rauscher says, to him, it seems like the municipality is keeping the ordinance because it hasn't been challenged. So the committee decided they would challenge it. Here's Terry Pardee.
But I don't want to see the kind of environment or political climate that keeps telling us what we can't do.
Fish and Game area biologist Stephanie Sell was on the phone at the meeting. She agreed that Skagway's trapping code is overreaching. She says state regulations are liberal in Unit 1D, which encompasses Skagway.
As far as the state's concerned, there's really no restrictions for trapping besides you have to mark your gear on the field and then just be smart. So the actual ordinance is kind of, they're in that gray area where they're flirting with regulating trapping.
Sell says it's the State Board of Game's responsibility to regulate trapping, and Skagway is putting the cart before the horse by circumventing that body's authority. She said the local Fish and Game Advisory Committee should also have been consulted.
I mean, that's the whole point of what you guys do, is you're the voice of the community to the state. So, I mean, it's kind of undermining what you guys are meant to do.
Skagway committee members Rauscher and John Tronrud and Haines member Randy Jackson plan to write a letter to the Alaska Fish and Game Commissioner and the State Department of Law. Jackson says one of the central complaints they'll include is the fact that the advisory committee was not involved in the process Skagway took to pass the restrictions. At the next advisory committee meeting on November 20th, Jackson says the group will review the letter. Trapping for wolverine and beavers opens in early November, and for marten in December. In Haines, I'm Emily Files.
Preliminary numbers show enrollment is up in both the Skagway and Haines school districts. For Skagway, student numbers are above 100 for the first time since the 2007-2008 school year. That means the school district is likely in for a $280,000 increase in state funding. In Alaska, schools receive a per-student allocation from the state. The number of students for which a district receives money is determined over 4 weeks in September and October. That count period ended last week. Superintendent Josh Coffran said enrollment averaged 100.85 students. Here he is speaking at the school board meeting on Monday.
That's really good news. I appreciate all the families that have had their faith to bring their kids here every day. It's great to see that spike in enrollment. This is certainly something that I anticipated, but not nearly this quickly.
The district will report the student numbers to the state for verification. Coffran says he's confident it will hold. He says the State Department of Education has told him that in a situation like this, 100.85 would be rounded up to 101 in terms of funding allocated. 101 is an important number for school funding. If enrollment hits that mark, districts receive a larger per-student amount. Coffran says for Skagway, it will total just shy of $1 million. That's compared to about $700,000 the district received last year. The school board plans to hold a community workshop in January where they will discuss what to use the funding increase for. Some ideas include a foreign language program, increased arts education, or additional teachers. There's also a survey on the school district's website to gather community input. Preschool numbers indicate that student enrollment in Skagway may continue to grow in the next few years. As for the Haines School District, enrollment has also gone up. The school board created a budget for this year on a projected student count of 252, but preliminary numbers from October's student count show this year's enrollment is well above that, at 277. Haines Interim Superintendent Rich Carlson says that number is much more than the district anticipated. He calls it a complete reversal from the downward trend enrollment had taken since 2008. Last year, there were 268 students. Carlson says one student population that grew significantly this year is the correspondence or homeschool group, from 9 to 19 students. For KHNS News, I'm Jillian Rogers. Thanks for joining us this evening. You can listen to and read local news stories on our website at khns.org.